I really love her. She's my last one. When she was born, doctor warned my wife that she'll be a preemie. It will be too small. What happened is that I married really early. I got married 22 and became a daddy at 23. And it was a shock to me because we got married and I didn't know my wife was going to get pregnant. You're 22, like, I said, Jenny, you're pregnant? What's your problem, you know? And couldn't you wait a little longer? And of course, the second one came, and the third one. By the time third one came, my wife was in grad school getting her master and tried to go to grad school, and she found out she was pregnant again. So she got really mad at me because she did not want to have any more kids, you know? And so Patty was a surprise for us. But on top of that, she got shots to go to grad school, and she didn't know she was pregnant, and it got complicated. And matter of fact, the doctor said that this child is so small that she has to be bedridden for a whole month before the actual delivery day. That's not what you want to hear as a mother when you're pregnant with a child. You don't want to hear anything negative. You don't want to hear, you know, it's like... So she said, well, you need to be bedridden for a whole month because this child is too small, blah, blah, blah. So, well, June 10th came, and I, of course, you know, as a father, I go into the delivery room, and you go through the whole process. And when she came out, she was 9 pounds, 9 pounds, 3 ounces. She was the biggest baby. It was so huge. And instantly she brought so much joy to our family. Just the surprise aspect of a child who was supposed to be preemie and too small, and I was expecting a child, and it was like, whoa, you know, 9 pounds, 3 ounce baby. And she brought so much joy to our family. I really, really love her. Well, when she was in elementary or kindergarten, we realized she's not progressing as she should academically. In every other aspect, she was fine. Socially, fun kid, you know, she loves to dance, you know, but academically, she wasn't progressing. So we had to hold her back 1 year. And I always call her kindergarten flunky, right? So, and then the second, third, fourth grade came, and one day, Patty came home, and my wife was doing the dishes, and she literally just dropped her backpack on the kitchen floor and just hit the floor, and she started wailing. Have you seen a little girl wail? And she was just crying and sobbing and said, Mommy, Mommy, I must be a dummy because I just don't get it, Mommy. You know, all the other guys, you know, whether it be English, math, you know, students raise their hand, they go up to the board and they, you know, they could write and they get it right. But Mom, I'm really, really trying hard. I try to understand. I look at and I listen to teacher and they try to explain this concept and, you know, math and, you know, and then alphabets and all that. It's just like, I just don't get it, Mom, you know. So we actually did a psychological test, and we found out she has a learning disability. It's not a major one. It's just that in her mind, in her brain, process things a little differently. See, and I kind of found that out by teaching her, because, you know, my first kid, Elisa, was just brilliant from day one. You know, it's like so amazing. I would travel and come home someday, and she was reading a book, and she was like, I said, Jenny, can a kid like that read? So he's like, why is she reading a book? He's like, well, I don't know. You know, we never taught her, you know. Stefan, another, he's a late bloomer, but man, once he gets it, right? So Elisa and Stefan, they were all straight A students all throughout, and I thought that was kind of normal, you know, for everybody, you know. And then Patty came and like, whoa, you know. It's like C, C, D, F, F, C, C, C. You know, it's like, whoa, how do you get C in, you know, 1 plus 1 equal 2, you know. And so I try to teach her, like, okay, this is A, Patty. I said, okay. But this is B, okay. What is this? She says, I don't know. I said, wait, did that just tell you that this is A? Like, well, it's nice that that's A for you. But why does it have to be A for me? See, that's her mind kicking in. That's the learning disability. Well, she's special. She doesn't think like a normal kid, you know. She doesn't understand why we have axiomatic truth. See, when you write something and say it's A and call it A, and you determine yourself that it is A, well, you are already subscribing to the axiomatic truth that, yeah, everybody agrees that this thing is called A. But in her mind, she said, why does it have to be A for me? It's good that it's A for you. See? So her mind works differently. So we had to educate her. And matter of fact, my wife by this time was going to grad school, Fuller, you know, and having a good time with Chuck Kraft. I heard he's coming. Wow, you're going to have a good time. Well, Jenny loves Chuck Kraft, and so she was getting her degree in inner healing at Fuller, and or theology, Master of Theology at Fuller. And so I had to teach Patty, and Tuesday night I'll teach. Well, when by the time she was graduating from sixth grade, she got straight A's. It's amazing, you know. But in our family, we never make a grade an issue. Never. We never actually look at... matter of fact, all my children got SAT, and I'm sure they took SAT. But number one, we don't know. Number two, we don't care. Number three, it's your life. You decide. You know, you got your credit card. You know, if you want to do it, go for it, you know. We bless you, we love you, you know, love Jesus, and man, live a wonderful life. That's our philosophy. So the first one, we don't know what her SAT score is, and because why do you have to know your child's SAT score? That's my question. Because I don't really love her because she got high score. I love her less because she had less score. But I mean, that's just my personal philosophy. So Elisa started training the other siblings and said, you know, if you depend on mom and dad, you'll never go to college. So you better study hard, you know. So the second one, study hard. Third one, you know, and the funny thing is Patty, she would go through this process and she got straight A's. And because we do not really make that an issue in our family, I remember walking into her room one day when I was in junior high. And then I saw this straight A report card right next to her bed, sixth grade. And I was so deeply touched. I'm thinking, God, it really mattered to her. We love her anyways. We accept her just the way she is. Because when she was crying out to Jenny and said that, Mommy, Mommy, I must be dummy, my wife instantly grabbed her and hugged her and said, Patty, you are such an incredible, incredible masterpiece from God. See, you have something that no one else has. God made you special. You know, and it doesn't, just because you don't understand A and you don't understand, you're not in agreement with the rest of the world, 1 + 1 = 2, that's okay. God loves you, and you're going to be someone very, very special. Well, she's graduated from high school. It's amazing, huh? My son, when I was talking to my son when he graduated from high school, I said, son, dad is real busy. Do I really need to attend your graduation? He said, oh, don't worry about it. That is cool, you know. Well, Patty, like, same scenario. She said, Dad, if you don't come, you're not my daddy anymore. You know, I was like, okay, I better go, you know. So I came, I was here in Hong Kong and went to Cambodia, and then I had to fly out and spend a couple weeks and travel, you know, this Grand Canyon thing. It was fun. It was really wonderful. And when I looked at her, I'm thinking, God, I can't believe this is Patty, you know, that was weeping before the Lord that I must be dummy. See, at the graduation, she had a speech because, well, still she's not academically there, but she made a speech because she was the class president, the 12th grade president, and so, of course, as a president, she makes a speech, and man, I tell you, honestly, being objective, not being subjective now, she rocked the stadium. I mean, whoa, I got so excited, I got on, I said, girl, you rock, who's your daddy? You know, it's like, I embarrassed all my family. All my family moved away from me, but I was so happy. I'm like, girl, and it was so happy moment for me because she's blossoming into someone that God has called her to be. Not be determined by her GPA, not be determined by scores of her SAT, not her achievement and things she can do, but whom God made her. Amen? And that's what I want to talk about today, you know. I just, you know, it's so strange. I was at some other church a couple months ago, worshiping, having a good time. And Lord said, write this down. I said, what? You know, and give me, this is what I wrote, you know. And right here, SP, July 19th. This is the sermon note that I took from the pastor, but this is a message for SP. So I'm listening. I'm like, oh, okay, you know. And July 19th, it talks about the Father. What does it mean to be Father? And I was so blessed with the pastor's message, but he was teaching an entirely different thing. But I was blessed by the message that God was giving me that day for SP today. You know, I wanna just open my heart and share my life, and especially in the area of being a father. Because especially guys who's not married, it's gonna speak to you. And all of you will be married by the end of the year. It stems out from not understanding who Father is, you know, and the fear that associated with that. So can sisters say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So get ready. Patty, she made a speech and was really from her heart and really spoke to a lot of people. And so as we were traveling together through this Grand Canyon, did you know that the cheapest way to entertain your kid is when they are young, taking them to a beach, $5 parking, and they play all day? When Patty graduated, that's what we did. We took her to canyons. It's still there. You know, it's free. So we went to Bryce Canyon, Grand Canyon, and Zion Canyon. You know, it was wonderful. We had a great time. And so we're flipping through these graduation photos, and I said, Patty, who's this guy, Ricardo, you know? Why did you take a picture with this Spanish guy named Ricardo, you know? He's an old man. He said, oh, he's our school janitor. I'm like, wait, this is graduation picture. Why would he be at your graduation picture? He said, well, Dad, I'm always nice to him. And one day I felt he was kind of depressed, so, and since I'm the class president, you know, the school newspaper, I just did a whole section, a shout out for Mr. Ricardo. You know, let's just cheer him up, you know, he's serving us all his life, and why don't we say something nice to Mr. Ricardo today? Shout out for him. And Mr. Ricardo was so touched by her gesture of love. He said to my daughter that he clipped the entire page and now is on his house, in their house, in their wall. Because he said, all my life I served this school. No one did that for me, you know. And matter of fact, on a graduation day, he came to my daughter's graduation and sought her out. You know, there are like 3,000 kids. Actually, he sought her out and he said, I want to take a picture with you because I want to remember you, you know. Because you made my what I do worth, you know. Wow. And I was just like listening to her. I'm like, girl, you're awesome. Who's your daddy? You know, I mean, but the thing is, because she went through some suffering herself, because to her, school was a cursed place. Yeah, I don't want to go to school. I'm like dummy of the school. I get laughed at and people make fun. And school was a place that she didn't want to go. What do you think the school janitor feels? Do you think he gets up in the morning and goes, yeah, I get to go to school and clean the toilet? You know? But Patty, as God healed her from that, and she was able to touch somebody in the same situation, you know, it gives message of hope, message of joy. It's like, thank you for serving us. You know, and the entire campus, they shout out for Mr. Ricardo. And the old man was so touched by this little girl, 18, 17-year-old, that he would actually come to a graduation as if anybody would care, wearing a Mr. Ricardo sign as a janitor. But he would seek Patty out. And I'm thinking, Lord, my daughter truly has a freedom in you. What it means to be Christian and live a life of a Christian. You know why? Because she has encountered God as daddy, as father. You see, the Spirit of God, when we are touched by the Spirit of God, we don't become crazy charismatic. We don't go around doing things so unearthly, so supernatural that people kind of like wonder, like, what's going on with him? You know, we are naturally supernatural. People look at you and go, man, there's something about you so different. Man, what is it? You know, what is it? You know, when we move in the spirit, I'll tell you because one of your church members involved in this testimony. I was in Korea last week, or is it 2 weeks ago? Anyways, I was in Korea. There were 10 Cambodian college students visiting Korea. And I said, hey, you know, I'm in between this conference. Actually, I have a revival meeting tonight, but I would like to host these 10 guys, and I want to show them. You know, the highest point that the Cambodians ever reached in terms of building is 10-story. The highest building in Phnom Penh is 10-story. And so that's all. And so Korea has 63-story building, and, you know, on the top is wow, fabulous, right? And I'm thinking, just come on down, you know. I'll show you then, show you the top of the, you know, Korea, the 63 building. Thinking, like, how much will it cost to go 63-story? $10 per person, you know. I didn't know. But I'm hosting them, right? So I got these 10 Cambodian kids. So I'm here, I am. I'm taking the aquarium, taking the IMAX theater, you know, and taking up to the 63-story. And so they're going to have a great time. I'm so excited. Will was there. And so I'm at the ticket counter, buying tickets for everyone. There are like 15 of them with the drivers and all. I'm like buying tickets. And there was this lady with three kids. You know, I'm like, boy, it's like, why would anybody come to a place with three kids? I wonder, you know, it's like, it's not fun, right? So I'm looking at her like, whoa, she's a funny lady, you know. And this funny lady walks up to me and said, are you Pastor O? You know, I'm like, yes, you know. Funny lady, what's, you know, how do you know me? She said, well, sir, you were at a retreat 2 years ago, and we're passing on a hallway, and I said, you know, I have carpal tunnel all my life. It's so painful. And just kind of touched me and prayed, and you walked away. And I want you to know that I'm completely healed from that day on, 2 years. It's like I just want to thank you. I'm like, really? And then I saw these kids, and they're so cute. See, I'm ready to be grandpa. So I'm like, they're so cute. Can I pray for them? And so I grab all three of them and kiss them and, you know, hug them and pray for all three kids. And of course, you know, and then we did IMAX and, you know, all these things. And on top of the 63-story, Abraham Joe, who's hosting these 10 Cambodian kids, and said, Pastor Bob, money ran out. I'm like, what do you mean money ran out? You know, I'm hosting these kids and I didn't get enough sponsorship from churches, and, you know, the money ran out. And so someday they eat well because some people buy them meals. Someday they don't eat. I'm like, that's terrible. You know, it's like, you're a lousy host, man. It's like, said, well, the money ran out. So we're like, I was yelling at him, and we came down from 63-story. We walked out, and right there, that lady, the funny lady, was standing with envelope full of cash. It's this thick, I kid you not. I mean, and she just gave it to me and said, I was looking all over for you. I just want to bless you, you know, because what you did for me 2 years ago. And I'm like, whoa, this is cool. And Lord said, that's not for you. You know that, right? Ah! Why did Abraham Joe tell me that the money ran out on top? And he's like, why couldn't he tell me after, you know? So I folded it, I stuffed it in Abraham Joe's. I said, you know what? Buy them some good food, man. Have some Hong Kong spirit, man. Amen? You guys have such a generous spirit when it comes to food. That's awesome. I said, no. You know, think about that. God had this Cambodian kids in mind 2 years ago when he healed that lady through me. I'm not like supernatural. You know, I don't tend to be, I don't want to be, you know, like, woo, you know, like, I don't want to be that, you know. I just want to like, and then 2 years later, you know, these kids, get this. And we took these 10 college students to Yonggi-cho's church and were praying and they were giving testimonies. And, you know, they said, yeah, you know, I heard that money ran out. And we saw what happened today this morning. And said, God must so love us so much to provide for every step of our journey. And we're so thankful. These kids were just crying. They were so happy. And I was standing there thinking, wow, this is so neat that I healed a lady 2 years ago that I didn't know that I healed. And meet a lady that I don't know who she was. And she ended up blessing me. And I just become a channel to bless this. And you know, forever, there's 10 college students, their lives changed because they're encountering God. They encounter not Bob, not all this. They're encountering Father who's loving, who wants to provide for their children. Amen? See, the Word of God says it this way. So I say to you, ask and you will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? I mean, come on. You cannot argue with Jesus when he speaks. And then he says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? For those of you who want to find that in the Bible, it's in the New Testament. And if you read Bible a lot, you know where it is. Yeah. I don't make it easy for people to listen and see and projection and like you know, thinking you know. You don't know, man. You have to read it yourself. But you know the word, right? Jesus is speaking and said, this is the principle of prayer. Principle of prayer. Ask, seek, knock. You'll be given to you. It'll be open for you. And then he says, you being evil, and no one could argue with that. We are such a sinners. You sinners. And yet, you being sinner, and if your father, if your son come and ask, Dad, I'm hungry, give me some bread. What kind of father would give stone and say, here, eat this, son? And he's arguing with you. He said, if you, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, why would Heavenly Father not give you bread? No, he doesn't say that. No. He doesn't say, why wouldn't Father give everything you ask? No. He doesn't say that. Why wouldn't Heavenly Father give you Holy Spirit when you ask? So what does the connection between the father and son relationship and the Holy Spirit? See, man, this is amazing. The Bible says, therefore, brethren, now this is Paul speaking in the New Testament, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to living according to the flesh. No. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Now, whoa, time out. See, Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit and makes a connection, right, to the Father and the Son relationship. Now, Paul is making a connection. If you live by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the Spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Holy Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Wow, this is so deep, man. He says, verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Who testify? The Spirit of God testify that we are children of God. Well, what does that mean, Lord? So why is it important? Now, Jesus says, why wouldn't Heavenly Father give you the Spirit? But what Paul says is, by the Holy Spirit, now you are understanding that you belong to God as what? Son, not as a slave. That's what I heard at a meeting Sunday. And the Lord came and said, talk about not the essence of what it means to be Father, but existence, the existential view of Father. Talk about that. I'm like, wow, that will be heavy, Lord. Can they handle it? Yes, SP's ready. So here I am. I'm here to set some men free from bondages. Because your understanding of Father and yourself as a son has been only in the essence, like who I need to be, how I need to perform, especially strong in Asian culture. Because you're never accepted as who you are. You always have to perform a certain way. You have to live by certain rules. And all that is broken in the name of Jesus. I don't want you to live by that. You as a Christian have this incredible freedom. Man, this is powerful stuff. The Bible says, and it says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into the hearts, so that what? We cry out, Abba, Father. So the Word of God says that because there's a conviction, there's an internal conviction, there's an internal affirmation, there's an internal, like, yes, I'm a child of God. And yet, we are constantly seeking after external affirmation, whether it be father, whether it be spiritual leader, whether it be mother. You know why guys become mama's boy? Because he never got that affirmation from dad. And I tell you, girls, don't marry mama's boy. You're going to live a very miserable life for a while until he repents and comes out of whatever that mamahoodness. You know, I was talking to this guy. Decent guy. I mean, professional. You know, I mean, he could, you know, smart guy. And I'm talking to him casual, eating lunch, whatever. And, he's been married for a few years. And he's, like, complaining to me, like, I can't believe my wife cannot cook like my mother. And on and on and on. I was so disgusted. Like, I said, yo, man, why'd you marry your wife? Why don't you go marry your mother? You know? It's like, you're sick, man. You do. No, honoring your mom and dad is different than being mama's boy. When you are so hungry for that affirmation from your own dad and he didn't give it to you. And so now you have to seek it from some authority. And it was only authority at home was, other than your dad, was your mom. See, some people who really are struggling with that issue will seek that affirmation from their spiritual leader. Now listen. Your spiritual leader is there for a purpose, but not to be your daddy. Not, you get that right. Because you know what happens over and over again? Some of you, if you don't break this curse and don't understand this, you're going to go through this huge cycle. And you're going to come back to that place again. You're going to go through church after church because, like, boy, you love this guy. He's the man. I like him. Now maybe he could be my dad finally. And then you be nice to him, you buy him stuff, you're extra faithful, and you're out there serving, out serving, and doing all this. Why? Because you want external affirmation from this person. And there's no man on earth who could give you that. Only Heavenly Father could be your father. But when we are so disappointed, guess what? And then we turn around and say, man, this church has no love, you know? I remember talking to a sister. Oh, please, sisters, I'm a terrible counselor. Don't come to me for counseling. This sister came to me, and she's been at our church for 6 years, and she says, this church do not warmly welcome me anymore. When she said that, I turned like, what? I was so disgusted with this girl. She's been born again for 6 years, serving at our church, and she said, I can't believe this church does not warmly welcome me anymore. I'm like, girl, are you telling me for the last 6 years you're a visitor? You expect someone to warmly welcome you to this church? Are you kidding? Are you out of your mind? You know, like, yeah, she left the church. Listen. You know, God is the only one who's going to be your father. And I'm sorry if you did not have godly father. See, I had a lousy dad. He was smart enough to get a couple PhDs and brilliant. Chief editor at a newspaper agency and just wonderful doctor. He has everything. And yet, because of our religious difference, he abandons the family. We didn't know where he was for the next 7-8 years. And when we finally found him, I bring him back to my house and try to do all these things. And then he had guts to take my name and my son's name out of his will. You know how much his lifetime saving was? $500. He had $500 life saving. He had 5 kids. what's the point of writing a will? Just give $100 each, man. Get it over with. You know. But he wanted to make sure that he makes a point that, Seokhwan, you're not my son because your faith in Christ. He took my name out from his will. What a nasty guy. You know, he got born again 30 days before he went to heaven. He died. But before he died, 30 days before, my wife went up to him and said, Dad, you're going to die. Why don't you accept Christ and have eternal life? So he becomes born again, right? And so he and I went to bank something. You know, I think he had to take his $500 out. And this is the last week before he died. It was like 7 days before he passed on. He went to bank together. I remember him looking at me and said, Son, I'm so sorry for everything that I've done to you all your life. I accepted it, but I couldn't process it. I said, Dad, thank you for sharing that. But you know what? Deep inside, I said, why do you say that now? You know, after 20 years of pain, why do you say that now? You think that's okay? Yeah, I'm glad God forgave you, but I don't know if I could forget the pain that you caused me all these years. You know, he died, and I couldn't get over it. I couldn't forgive my dad after he died. I mean, he died, and I couldn't forgive him. And for many days and many months after he died, I cannot forgive my dad for what he did to me and my son. You know, and every time, you know, I'm raising my son, you know, now I got 3 sons, 2 adopted, but Stefan, my favorite son at the time, he was only one. Every time I'm nice to him, and I always tell myself, son, you don't know what you're getting. You have it so good. I remember saying that. I did a whole bedtime story, and I used to do puppet ministry, so I did puppet, you know, and every bedtime story always leads to, so you need to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. All my kids are accepting Christ every night. Okay, Dad, okay. Okay, it's time to pray. You know, I'm a sinner, you know. So my son's so cute, you know, I led him to Christ again, you know. Because I want to make sure my kids know the Lord, you know. And so I'm walking out and closing the door, and then I was telling my son, you don't know how good you got. And the Holy Spirit just came and said, do not love your son in comparison to you and your father's relationship. What was I doing to my son? I said, you're getting a good deal, son, compared to what I got. What a terrible love that is. Love is not like that. You don't love somebody because like, you're reacting to someone else. Because you are not affirmed by your dad. Now you're overcompensating, you're over-affirming. No, it doesn't work that way. God will not allow you to love someone like that. See, God has a measure. God has a standard. The standard is Him. Amen? So he says that, why would God not give you Holy Spirit? You being evil, you ask for bread, your evil father, your earthly father will give you bread. Do everything in his power to give you bread. Now, why wouldn't Heavenly Father, the standard, the example of what fatherhood is about, not give you Holy Spirit? Why? Because Holy Spirit, when He resides in you, He becomes the one that confirms, that affirms, that gives you conviction that you are child of God. You don't have to do anything to prove to anybody that you're a child of God. You don't no longer have to be in this performance trap. The person who becomes Christian, who had a lousy relationship with dad, will go right into the same wrong relationship with the Heavenly Father, and you try to perform before God and say, God, now, am I approved? Do you love me now? Do you accept me now, Father? And Father's heart is grieved. Father's heart is grieved. Because the father's heart is, I love you, kid, just the way you are. You don't have to do anything for me. That's why when Jesus, before he started the public ministry, when he was baptized, coming out of the water, there was an incredible voice that said, here is my son, whom I love, whom I approve. Before Jesus did anything for Heavenly Father, God approved Jesus as his son. Amen? The same Spirit. See, when we understand that, when we understand that, yes, Daddy accepts me. Daddy loves me just the way I am. And now, when I have this incredible freedom, my relationship with others becomes free. I do not perform. I do not try to get approval. I do not, you know, like, people ask me, like, wow, you know, you get to preach at this huge auditorium with tens of thousands of people, and wow, are you kind of afraid? Like, hey, you get nervous? I'm like, no. He's like, why would you get nervous? I said, well, because there are a lot of people. I said, I don't need their approval. I don't do anything for them. I always preach myself happy. Like, whether it be 10,000 people or 10, man, I'm happy. Why? Because I'm doing it unto the Lord. It's nothing to do with result, nothing to do with people. It's just like, Dad, I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't believe I'm doing this, and I make living doing it, and I get to travel doing it, and just, yeah, it's just amazing. You know, I'll be in Kenya next week, and there'll be like gazillion people, you know. Afrikaans, they do everything big, you know, and so they just going to have a huge meeting, and I'm like the keynote speaker. I'm like so excited, you know. Why? Because I'm going to go and preach myself happy. I'm going to make a lot of Afrikaans happy. Why? Because I have this incredible freedom in Christ. That it will not be judged by the performance or what I do or, Lord, you know. So now, what does that mean for marriage? I mean, you know, I try to make the connection now. Maybe I should preach this the second service so you all could come, you know. No. See, that's what I notice about men. Because I've been to so many places, right, and met a lot of young people. Now, more advanced, more developed the country it is, and more longer the Christian country that it has been, It is the case. You know, I've been to 38 countries, and met a lot of young people like you, all over the world, but more advanced, like America or Europe, you know, and then you talk to these people, you know, like, okay, so, you know, what do you do for a living, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, so, oh, you're 33, so how many kids you got? No, I'm not married. You're not married, what's your problem? You know? I said, you should have a couple kids. They said, why? Well, nobody's getting married. You know, well, my profession, and I'm like, well, okay, that's important. Yeah, I believe, you know, when God calls you, you got to be faithful to that, you know. But that's not the first command. What was the first command that God gave to Adam and Eve? Yeah, you got to multiply, man. You got to multiply yourself, right? And so I take it seriously. That's why I proposed to my wife when I was 19. I was ready to multiply, like, yeah. Come on, honey, let's multiply, you know. Well, 22, I got married, and I started multiplying myself at 23. And see, you do not understand Father's heart until you become a father. See, until God, you know, of course, there's a special gift. You know, there's a, you know, there are people, certain people God calls you to be, not to marry, and that's okay. You know, and if God calls you not to marry, Lord bless you, and, you know, and yeah, you could do a lot more things, you know. As a single person. That's good. But until God calls you to be a single person rest of your life, make effort to multiply yourself. Right? I've been telling my first daughter, Elisa, my goal in life is to become grandfather before I'm 50. I'm 48 this year, girl. I'm like, Dad, I don't even have a boyfriend. That's not my issue, okay? I'm just telling you. I need to fulfill my dream, you know? My son came to me and said, Dad, I could help you. I said, shut up, you know. I'm talking to your sister. Multiply yourself, girl, you know. I'm talking to a lot of professionals, young men and women. You know, it's actually, I don't want to bag on guys. Girls, too. When it comes down to, and in our church, you know, I've been in ministry for 18 years. When I sense that someone's like somebody, I mean, just if there's any inkling that likes, I think someone likes somebody. When I hear somebody, you know, it doesn't even have to be spiritual. You know, I don't have to be all praying like some, you know, someone comes to me, I think John likes Mary. I'm like, okay. I said, John and Mary, let's have a meeting. So I said, John, do you like Mary? Well, I sort of do. Do you like John? Okay. Well, what's the problem? 6 months, you know. So, yeah, I marry usually, you know, within 6 months. If you like somebody, we try to get them married within 6 months. Why? Because, you know, come on, ladies and gentlemen, you know, when you like each other and you start dating and start dating heavily and, you know, you watch a movie, you come home, you don't really pray about the world peace and all that, you know? So I'm like, sin not, you know? Just, what's the problem here, you know? And so we have a lot of children in our church, multiplied. And they're happily married. Because, get this, the secret of marriage that I found out is not meeting the perfect person. You know, my wife, if my wife ever comes, oh, she was here. Remember she said that the reason I got into inner healing? Because I married Bob. He caused so much pain that I had to heal myself. I'm like, I wasn't that bad, right? I said, oh, yes, you are. You know, and then she, you know, tells me all the stuff I've done. I'm like, oh, yeah, I was pretty terrible, you know. There's no perfect husband. There's no perfect wife, you know. If you feel, you know, and the thing is, you want this external affirmation from the world, from your boss, from your friends, and from your parents, and from yourself. You know, like, the girl has to be a certain look, and certain figure, and certain, and the guy tells me all these things, and I'm like, are you kidding me? When was the last time you looked yourself in the mirror? You want to marry someone like that. Why would someone like that marry you? You know? Get real, man. You know what I mean? We live in this fantasy world, this Hollywood world, you know. In the more advanced you are, more developed country, and the more the country has been Christianized, man, we have this phony idea of what marriage is. You know, in Cambodia, kids marry 16, 17 and raise children. And I'm not saying that we need to do that. I'm just saying that that's natural way. That's just normal. That's physiologically, that's natural. You know, we are at, you know, our optimum level, you know, and in our teens and 20, early 20s. And you, some of you will miss that, you know. But don't prolong any longer, you know. Message was all about multiplication. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you try so hard to be accepted by what the world said, the norm, and you know, my God, you know, if you ever walk into my household, it's not perfect. We got so gazillion kids coming into our, you know, I got two adopted sons. Refuse to leave house, you know, still going to school, and my kids are there, and just like, it's a jungle out there. But man, we're happy. We have a happy home. You know, one time I was sleeping, and someone was making a ruckus out there in my living room. I got out, 11:30 at night, I got out in my PJ, and this girl was playing Wii game in my living room, in my TV. I'm like, I said, who are you? You know, I said, oh, I'm just one of the friends, you know. I said, oh, okay, keep on playing, you know. I mean, our house is a madhouse because we had all these kids come and they really feel comfortable. You know what, one other thing, since I'm bragging about Patty, let me just go all out. Patty got a little card from her friend. It's a Filipino girl. This Filipino girl wrote a card, thank you card to Jenny and said, Pastor Jenny, I just want to thank you, you know, because you opened your home, and this became my second home, and this is where I live, and they lived and ate all our food, you know. And she said, you know, all my friends went bad. They did drugs and did all these things, and she's yet to be Christian. And she said, but just your warm welcome and Patty bringing me to your house and changed my life. And I just want you to know that I'm going to university, and I just want to write a thank you letter. You know, and I'm like, wow, what a testimony from a girl that, you know, just from, you know, from the background where the norm is to do drug and do whatever, you know, gangbanging. What, I guess that's I don't know her that well. But when I was reading that, I'm like, wow, this is cool, hon, that we could be used like that. Our home could be used like that. See, and we have this erroneous idea about what home has to be in a certain way, and we have to be certain, you know, drive certain things, wearing certain things, and be a certain way, and be accepted by the world. And man, get over it. You know, there are people in you, and I always tell you this, and I always tell it to my church too. Everybody are destined together. You know, the fact that you are at SP together, don't look far away for your spouse. They are here. Sit. Yeah, don't look. Just look straight at me, okay? Look straight at me, okay? Don't be embarrassed. People are here already. Don't look somewhere else. I know you guys are world travelers, but don't look all over the world, you know? It's here. In the spiritual environment, that's where you need to find. And make a commitment. And say, Lord, you know, I really feel she's the one. And yeah, I mean, she doesn't measure up to my standard. Yeah, trust me, you won't measure up to her standard either. So like, you know, but, well, Lord, I'm going to make a decision. If I don't hear from you by next week, I'm marrying her. That's what I do. That's what I do. I say, Lord, okay, I'm going to do this. And if I don't hear from you, well, then I don't do it. You know, I just started an art gallery in Cambodia. It's called Arty Farty Researchers Cafe, A Frog. And so I'm going to sell oil painting, my favorite books, my favorite CDs, and we're going to have researchers come. It's fantastic, you know. And I need a certain amount of money to have at least 1 year leadway. And I said, Lord, I need to sign contract by Wednesday. If you don't give it to me, I don't do it. If you give it to me, I'll do it. Well, Wednesday that morning, all the fund came. $17,000 came in from one sister, a businesswoman. I'm like, I guess you want me to do it. You know, I'll gladly do it. You know, in the same way, you know, don't ask God like, you know, like, God, show me. Bring me someone in my life. You know, and God said, but I did. But Lord, show it to me clear. But I, you know, in your heart. You have internal affirmation, conviction, but you want external affirmation too. Don't do that. You know, decide. Because you know what? If you don't live a free life like that, then when you marry someone, you're going to impose that regulations and rules. And we need to be as a couple, and we need to live a certain way, and, you know, do this certain thing. And you know what? It's just miserable. You know, I've seen such a religious people and all that, and he says, you know, they act like they live a certain way, they look like they're having fun, but they're not having fun. You know, you got to be free, and the Holy Spirit in you will set you free. Don't look at your own father and blame him, or your own family, and all that is irrelevant. It's all passed away. Everything has passed. Behold, it is brand new. Amen? And you stand before God today brand new. Be set free. I'm going to pray for you so that you will be set free. Let's pray. Can I just have a keyboardist come? Well, praise team could go up, but I just want keyboard at this point. But listen, I really want, because this is so incredible life. When you are set free because the Holy Spirit indwelling in you set you free, that is a life that it is so amazing. And yet, we have all this stuff put on us, and we want to live certain standard, and, you know, man, even that is not from the Lord. You don't have to live certain standard, because God is the one who gives, and God is the one who will take away. And if you never learn to accept that, then God sometimes has to take it away so that you confess that to the Lord. God gives and God takes away. Just confess it now. And say, Lord, I'm free from all that. I'm free, Lord. The earthly father stands before you and says, I love her. I love my daughter. I do. I really love my Patty. I love all my children. I love her. How much more our Heavenly Father will say to you, I love her. I love him. He's so cute. He's so wonderful. He's so capable. He's awesome. I love him. He's the man I love. He's the guy. He's the one. You know, God comes to, and look at all the girls and all the ladies in this room, and God says, I love her. She's so sweet. She's so cute. She's my little princess. He's my little prince.
I accept them just the way they are. I made them that way. Some excel in academics, some excel in certain fields, some do good things in certain ways, some made certain way, fashion according to image of God. And God saw what he made and they said, it is good, it's wonderful. Lord, I pray that if there is any shackle that we put on ourselves, false image, false God, false idols that we said that we have to be this way and we have to be a certain way and we have to be married and this way and this family and my wife has to look a certain way. Maybe it's the lie from certain fashion magazine or some Hollywoodizing of the family or life. God, I pray the curse will be broken in the name of Jesus. Let it be broken, God. God, I want them to live a life that is set free. Set free. Release them, Lord God. Would you put your right hand to your heart right now? Holy Spirit, do a deep healing right now. God, they touch, but go deeper now. Your Holy Spirit hand, go deeper. And take out those things, Lord, that doesn't belong. The nonsense, the hypocrisy. Oh, God, take it out in the name of Jesus. False expectation on themselves. God, set them free, set them free, set them free, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. Oh, we give you glory. You're awesome, God. You're awesome, God. And you accept us as who we are because you made us this way. We thank you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you glory and thanks. Glory and thanks. In advance for what you will do in the lives of these children, Lord, as their shackles of all these false expectations have been broken. Set them free, Lord. We thank you, we praise you, we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Let's give God a big hand, shall we? Hallelujah.